And the U.S. President Donald Trump has urged Iran not to restart its nuclear program, as his French counterpart Emmanuel Macron says more issues can be added to the nuclear agreement. This shortly after the Iranian President Hassan Rouhani warned Washington against violating the 2015 nuclear deal. Rouhani had said any failure to respect the multinational agreement would entail grave consequences. More details in this report.
U.S. President Donald Trump on January 12th reluctantly agreed to waive sanctions against Iran that were lifted as part of the landmark nuclear deal, but said it would be the last time he issued such a waiver unless conditions were met. Trump had given his European allies a May 12th deadline to fix what he said the terrible flaws of the agreement, known as the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, JCPOA. The U.S. president has once again renewed his threats against Iran during a meeting with his visiting French counterpart.
But the Iranians say they'll restart their nuclear program.
We'll find out. You'll find out about that. It won't be so easy for them to restart. They're not going to be restarting anything. They restart it, they're going to have big problems, bigger than they've ever had before. And you can mark it down. They restart their nuclear program, they will have bigger problems than they have ever had before. Thank you very much, everybody.
Emmanuel Macron, later in a joint press conference with Trump, said Paris is looking forward to working on a new deal with Tehran.
We have nuclear on the short run, we have nuclear on the long run, we have ballistic activity, we have regional presence of Iran. We want to fix the situation for these four pillars. Syria is part of the fourth one. And what we have to work on, obviously with Iran and the different parties in the region, the P5 and our allies, is to find a fair deal where we can fix the overall situation.
Iran has on several occasions ruled out the possibility of renegotiating the nuclear agreement. President Hassan Rouhani on Tuesday issued a stern warning about the consequences of scuttling the deal.
We're sticking to our commitments more strongly than ever, but if anyone wants to betray our nation or our deal, they should know that grave consequences would affect them. The Iranian people and government have planned for all scenarios to face them.
The secretary of Iran's Supreme National Security Council has also warned that Tehran may decide to quit the nuclear non-proliferation treaty should Washington ditch the deal.
Unfortunately, from the first day that the other party was supposed to fulfill its commitment, there were obstructions in different forms, and during Trump's presidency, this has reached its climax. In NPT, the signatories have the right to simply withdraw if they feel their national interest is not being served by staying in NPT. This is one of the options for the Islamic Republic of Iran out of the three different options.
Russia and China, both of whom are signatories to the deal, have vowed to leave no stone unturned to block any attempt by the U.S. to sabotage the accord. They have also called on the U.N. to back a draft statement to save the deal. Trump's stance against internationally recognized agreements has dented the United States' already damaged credibility. Scrapping the nuclear deal will for certain test the U.S. reliability.
Let's speak to Joe Quinn. He's an editor and researcher at SOT.net, and he joins us via Skype from Paris. Many thanks for joining us here on Press TV, Mr. Quinn. Now, first of all, what do you make of this proposal or announcement on the part of the French president that another deal can be negotiated, which will be more overreaching than just nuclear issues?
Well, I think it's an attempt by the French, first of all, it's an attempt by Macron to kind of increase his profile and make him appear as a kind of global deal maker, a very important person. I mean, he's embarrassing in that respect, the way he's conducted himself with regards to Trump. I mean, he's getting way beyond his station, but apart from his own personal self-image, France has benefited quite a lot from the lifting of sanctions against Iran, and European countries in general have. And that's the reluctance of European countries to break the Iran deal is evidence of that, that the European economy are doing quite well out of the lifting of the sanctions. They're able to do more business with Iran, and Iran has a lot of business to do. So I think this is an attempt of, it's partly kind of personal hubris and a sense of grandiosity on the part of Macron that he can, you know, negotiate major international deals like this, and he can influence the American president. But also he has economic reasons why he wants to appease the U.S. and keep the or less intact, but get Iran to agree to some further concessions, let's say, that would allow for the U.S. to relax a little bit about the real thing that they're afraid of in terms of the Iran deal, which is a big change in the Middle East in terms of the power structure in the Middle East and who really rules the Middle East. And of course, Israel figures directly into that as well. So you have, you know, the U.S. and Israel basically are concerned about their positions in the Middle East if Iran is allowed to continue to with its partners, is allowed to continue to exert itself, not just economically, but militarily, as we've seen in Syria. And this is why Macron is including the, you know, mention of Syria and Iran's presence in Syria and Lebanon and Yemen. That's a reference directly to the concerns of Saudi Arabia. So really, what in Macron's his new deal, let's say Macron's new deal, really is an attempt to address the military concerns of the U.S., Israel, and Saudi Arabia in the middle.
Right. Now, Mr. Quinn, considering that is how the situation stands right now, does that mean that we can expect the European partners and signatories of the JCPOA to abandon the way they've supported it up until now?
I don't think so. I think if Macron is successful of his additions to the his kind of Iran deal part two, if it's successful, and if Iran, which I don't think they will, then, well, in the case that they don't agree to that and Iran just, as they seem to be saying, that they won't accept any changes, I think ultimately the European Union, European leaders like Macron and stuff will back down, and they won't simply ditch the original deal, let's say. They wouldn't support the US and Israel and Saudi Arabia in lobbying for the complete destruction of the original deal, because they themselves have too much to lose. So I think it's a last-ditch effort, if you know what I mean, or an attempt by Macron to keep the US in particular on side. And by implication, if the US is on side, then Israel has to be on side and Saudi Arabia has to be on side, you know. And that's what you hear Macron talking about, you know, how the influence he has over Donald Trump and how he convinced Donald Trump to, or the American military to stay in Syria, blah, blah, blah. He's got a lot of talk. Macron's giving a lot of talk, but I don't think he can get Iran to change its position unless there's further concessions. Iran, if you can do that, all well and good, everybody's happy. But I don't think that's the way it's going to go. You know, I think there's a changing. The wind is changing in the Middle East in terms of the power structures and who's on top in the Middle East, and that's not going to stop. This is just part of that process of a change of the power politics or in the Middle East. And the people who stand to lose are the U.S., Israel, and Saudi Arabia, and all of them are very concerned about that.
Right.
And
now, Mr. Quinn, considering that Iran has said that it is not prepared to renegotiate this agreement under any conditions, however, at the same time, you spoke of the changing nature and political equations on the ground here in the Middle East. It was the U.S. that had insisted time and time again that, as far as negotiations with Iran is concerned, it only wants to negotiate on the nuclear program and no other issue at all. But things have changed now.
Right.
Is it fair now to convolute the two issues?
No, although you can understand why they would, because back in 2015, before Russia entered the conflict in Syria, and over the past few years has completely changed that, turned that around, and allowed for the Russians working with the Syrians, obviously, and with the Iranians and with Hezbollah. You know, they've turned that whole situation around and allowed for, I suppose, Iranian expansion or Iranian influence to extend much further into Syria. And that came out of nowhere for the US and for Israel and for Saudi Arabia. That there was a big surprise to them that Russia did that, and that since then. So this is why they're desperately attempting to kind of patch that up or fix it, you know, because it was a real shock. It was a real surprise to them. And they don't really know what to do about it. And so you get this kind of bluff and bluster of Trump saying, you know, Iran will, you know, have big problems, the worst problems they ever had if they restart their nuclear program and stuff. But, you know, I don't think there's anything they really can do about it. I mean, I think we'll see a lot of bluff and bluster and shouting and threats directed towards Iran, particularly from Israel and from the U.S. change anything. You know, there's a new reality really in the Middle East, and it just has to really manifest itself fully. It hasn't fully manifested itself itself yet.
All right, let's wait and see how this pans out. That's Joe Quinn, editor and researcher at SOT.net, joining us via Skype from Paris. Mr. Quinn, thank you very much indeed for your comments here on Press TV, as always.